Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, we welcome you to hour number 3, our third and final on this Tuesday all across the Sports Grid Network. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. In this third and final hour, will it be the final day of the Major League Baseball season? It is game number 4 tonight inside Yankee Stadium, where New York is trying to prevail for the first time in this World Series and trying to avoid a sweep in only 4 games against the Dodgers. Can the Yanks even extend it to 5? We will preview everything you need to know for game number 4 tonight throughout this third and final hour. Craig Mish, our MLB insider, will be here in just a bit to give his assessment on the Fall Classic, and then we'll take a look at the odds in just a little bit. But Joe, before we get to baseball, we talk some football. Week 8 in the books. Week 9. The midway point of this NFL regular season already on the horizon, just over 48 hours away.
Yeah, and what better way to kick it off than with the Jets? Oh, my goodness. I mean, they obviously, the schedulers of the NFL hate us, Ben, because they're forcing us to talk early week about the New York Jets once again. Disgusting.
I mean, it's just like primetime New York, primetime New York. I don't need to see an aging 40-year-old do anything. If I want to do that, I go down to my local rec center. I don't need to see Daniel Jones in primetime. We'll talk about that in just a moment, because the last 2 primetime games for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Sunday night against the Jets, last night on a Monday in the Steel City against the Giants, Pittsburgh has looked really good. Wins and covers in both. The Steelers are 6-2. They have covered in all 6 wins, 4-2, both straight up and against the number as a favorite this year. But are the Pittsburgh Steelers favored to do much more than maybe earn a playoff berth? That's what we will discuss here to start off hour number 3 by hearing from you all in Fade the Public. And Joe, this is the really compelling conversation around the Steelers in my estimation. We know the track record. It's 18 years under Mike Tomlin. In the previous 17, never less than 8 wins, never a losing record, and a playoff berth a few times in the last few seasons with pretty bad quarterback play, and yet still getting it done just enough to win games, to have a winning record, to earn a postseason berth. But that could also make it very frustrating for Steelers fans and backers, because the ceiling then is limited. You win football games, but you're never really great. You're good, you're consistent, you're solid. The standard is the standard, but how high does that standard go? That's the question this year for Pittsburgh. At Sports Grid on Twitter, are the Pittsburgh Steelers legitimate contenders to win the AFC? 2 options for you, yes or no. Nearly 69% of the public, nice, saying no, the Steelers could make the playoffs, but not a legitimate contender to win that conference crown. Joe, are you fit in the public?
Yeah, I wish I could, but I don't think I can here, Ben. I mean, listen, when we talked about this team before the season, we looked at the Steelers' schedule, and it was clear that they needed to take advantage prior to their bye week, because after their bye week, which is week 9, which is this week, you know, the schedule is a little soft. They had some games that we were a little questionable about. Who was the quarterback going to be? So not only did they address the quarterback situation in the first 8 weeks, but they managed to be in first place and go 6-2. So it's been a hugely successful first half for the Steelers. Now the question is, there are some holes on this team. This isn't a perfect team by any stretch, but they are built for the December games and January games, the way they play football. And if Russ can keep doing what he's doing, they should be considered not only a playoff team, but maybe a contender for an AFC championship as well.
And you saw the outlook there, a $3 favorite to make the playoffs. That's really not in question, at least at this moment, nearing the halfway point. The AFC as a whole, not all that great comparatively to what we thought it might be. Just 7 teams above 500 out of 16 in the conference entering week number 9. The Steelers are in first in the AFC North, and yet the Baltimore Ravens remain the hefty odds-on favorite to win the division, minus 185 for the flock, despite being 5-3 and snapping their 5-game win streak with a divisional loss to Cleveland this past Sunday. But the rest of this AFC North is not nearly as good as we expected. The Bengals are 3-5. They went 0-3, won 3 of their next 4, ill afford to lose games. They did in a big way to the Eagles on Sunday. The Browns have a little bit of hope with Jameis Winston. It's going to be fun. Can a 2-6 football team really be much more than 6-7 or 6 or 7-10? Really, probably not likely here. So that also helps the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because, Joe, you mentioned it. The schedule, the second most difficult in the NFL this season. And you might be looking at who they have beaten so far and say, hey, those are solid wins for the Steelers. They're 6-2. They have covered in all 6 victories. And you're not wrong. But it does not get easier. A bye week, and then in the offseason, we probably thought, okay, week number 10, that's another win before they really get in the gauntlet. No, it's the Commanders at 6-2. And then the Steelers play in their final 8 weeks, 6 of their 8 divisional, or in 6 of 8 games, they play all of their divisional matchups. That means the Ravens twice, the Browns twice, and the Bengals twice. And who are the non-divisional matchups? Do they get the Titans? Do they get the Jags? Do they get the Raiders? No, they get the Eagles and the Chiefs on Christmas. Yep. It is not easy for Pittsburgh the remainder of the way. And you'll probably find a couple of better prices then for the Steelers in some of those odds, updated win totals, divisional prices, of course, and maybe even the odds to make the postseason. I think the Steelers will, but it's not going to be super easy. And Joe, as we look at that AFC title number, 14-1, 14-1 for a team that's 6-2. Yeah, well, it's double the price and then some of the 4 best numbers, despite being in the top 5. The Texans are at 6-1, and the Steelers are double that and then add on a few bucks. That's kind of where I see it for the Steelers, who have not played in an AFC championship game, Joe, since 2016. That would be the hope, at least reaching the title game. I'm not sure I see it.
And there's a lot that's still to be determined here, I think, with the Steelers. But what's not to be is the fact that starting the season 6-2, heading into the bye, is you could not have asked for a better start. The Steelers, considering, Ben, we had a quarterback controversy heading into this season too. We had no idea who the quarterback was going to be, and they seem to have figured that out for the time being as well. And let's be honest, they're rushing the football. They're throwing the deep ball. Pickens is a stud. The offensive line is getting better. They're heading in the right direction, but still, that's Russell Wilson under center right now, and I have my reservations.
Joe, you said it, and it was on display in the opening half, 0-for-4 in their red zone chances last night, resulting in a ton of field goals. That's not great, right? We're not knocking the Steelers. They have taken care of business and looked impressive in doing so. But in terms of knocking off the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, the Texans, still probably a little bit more to go. Russ has thrown for 264 plus, 3 touchdowns to 0 interceptions in his 2 starts for the Steelers. Najee Harris has run for over 100 yards in 3 straight games. They look good. They've got the second best scoring defense in the NFL. but still maybe just that gap is justified for the true top contenders in the AFC. Quickly here, Joe, we talked about the Giants and really not their outlook for this season, but beyond. I'm going to set the number at over under 1.5. Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, and Daniel Jones will be back next year. Out of those three, over under 1.5, over under.
I think under. I think only one of those guys is back next year. And that's a tough decision for the Mara family.
Who would be that one? Daboll?
It would be Daboll. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. I would agree with your assessment. Yep. World Series assessment. Greg Mish next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It seems as though the smile on Craig Mish's face is a little bit wider on this Tuesday morning. Our MLB insider and the host of Newswire, which starts at 11 a.m. Eastern time, joins us here on the early line. Craig, let's just call a spade, right? You've been a little bit skeptical of the New York Yankees reaching the ultimate mountaintop of MLB this season, and now down in an 0-3 hole. You seem to have been correct. We will get your assessment on this fall classic and what, if anything, lays ahead or lies ahead after game number four, if there even is a game five here on this Tuesday on the early line. We appreciate your time.
Of course. And look, I, for one, would always prefer a long series, regardless of who wins or loses. But I don't think there's any question that it's extremely doubtful that we're going to get a long one here in the World Series.
Yeah, it really is, based on track record, history, and of course the Dodgers holding a 3-0 series advantage. Could this be the last time that we round every single base during the MLB season? If it is, it was fun. It's time for the Daily Bases. There it is. Got to involve Joe Lisi one last time if it is, in fact, the final time. Craig, let's go back to game three. The Dodgers win 4-2. Freddie Freeman yet again the hero, a two-run home run in the top of the first. Walker Buehler has been absolute nails since the second inning of game three of the NLDS against San Diego. He has pitched 12 innings of shutout baseball. But, Craig, with what you saw in game three, was it indicative? Did it represent what you thought could be the key differences here in this World Series between LA and New York?
Yeah, I give the Yankees a lot of credit. All season long, I thought they were, pretty fraudulent. A couple of really good pitchers, couple of really good hitters, made the Jazz trade to sort of ignite the clubhouse, which it did for a while. But if you watch the Yankees this season, what you're seeing right now is indicative of what we saw at least twice, probably three times. And by the way, last year too, where there were these pockets of times where they just really struggled to score runs. I guess the only difference is that when that happened, Judge was hitting at that time, and I think it's exacerbated now because he's not hitting and it's happening too. Judge hit all season long. So what's happened now is you're seeing what happened in early April and then in June and then in July, and then now it's happening again, where they've just been an all-or-nothing team offensively. There were some signs of this against Cleveland. Remember, Cleveland was probably the least opportunistic team to play against them in the postseason. They had the bases loaded several times, one out. Yankees kept getting out. If you play those games over and over, I think Cleveland has a better result. But I give the Yankees credit for getting this far. I think it's a flawed team, Ben. And in order to change things up, they're going to have to add some offensive pieces this offseason to avoid this all or nothing result.
Mm. Craig, I got to ask you, because I find people are still scratching their head. How good could Giancarlo Stanton have been overall if he had stayed healthy throughout his career? Because does this shock you at all? Like, he is the best hitter that the Yankees have right now. Him and Soto, without them, forget it. This is, they wouldn't even gotten here. But why does he, in your opinion, show up in October when other guys can't for some reason?
Yeah, I mean, look, Joe, it's a fair point to ask, but I think it's a really easy question that you're asking me to answer, which is, he is just like a lot of other players with that. I mean, maybe there aren't exactly like that body type, Joe, but you know, the best example that I could give you is, and again, steroids aside, you could ask me if Jose Canseco wasn't on steroids and wasn't hurt like 80% of the time for the last 10 years of his career, what would he be? Players like this with that big body type, Joe, the legs just go, man. Like they go a few years in. And after Stanton won the MVP and he got traded from the Marlins to the Yankees, it was a really steep decline. He's always had that power. He continues to have that power. But you saw last night, can't even run really anymore from third to home. So I think that through history, you know, Eric Davis is another great name. He played for the Reds for a long time. Once the legs start to go and those big muscular body types start to fail, it's over quickly. They have a really short shelf life, most of them. Stanton is really an outlier, Joe, to be honest with you. Like, he's had probably better a career than I thought he was going to have, especially if you look back the last few years with all the injuries.
Has been clutch in this postseason, no doubt, for the Yankees when they have been devoid of much offense outside of Giancarlo and Juan Soto. So, Craig, game number four is tonight. The Dodgers are a slight money line underdog against the Yankees. No starter named or opener named just yet for LA. On the other side, it will be Luis Gil getting the start for New York. You look at game four, you look at the series odds overall. It's probably not a question of if, rather just when. Do the Dodgers sweep the Yankees in the 2024 World Series, or will we at least see a fifth game?
I don't think so. I think it ends tonight. I think that in sports in general, there's, you know, always the saying, if you're not sure, just let the trend be your friend. And the trend is the Yankees aren't hitting. The Dodgers are. Doesn't matter who the Dodgers pitch. They're getting the Yankees out. Bullpen guy, Buehler, Gratterall, doesn't matter. If the Yankees were to wake up tonight, Ben, as an example, and score six runs, I could see a path to getting to six games. But what have you seen in the first three games, beyond game one with Nestor Cortez needing an out, what have you seen from the Yankees that leads you to believe that all of a sudden tonight is going to be the night? I don't see it. So I think it does end. And again, great season for the Yankees, too. I have absolutely nothing negative to say. It's just at some point they're going to have to get. I mean, it's not that they need more players like Jazz. Like, I'm not saying that, but more players to get on base and. When the big home run hitters don't hit, score some runs otherwise. They just don't have a lot of those guys.
So, Craig, when it goes final, we'll celebrate the Dodgers. But I just want to ask this as a quick follow-up. If it is an embarrassment in the World Series, and certainly on track for that, there will be some in the Bronx looking for something new. Will there be changes to the Yankees organization this offseason?
I don't think so. I think that you celebrate winning a pennant and getting to the World Series. You've seen changes with a lot of the teams that did not qualify for the World Series across the board. But me personally, I say no. I say the Yankees run back.
And then the Juan Soto sweepstakes begin this winter. Greg Bish, we appreciate it. We'll have more of the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, we have some action in the association on this Tuesday. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. Counting all the games we have tonight, quadruple header, that would be four, including a Western Conference Finals rematch in the Twin Cities between the Timberwolves and the Dallas Mavericks. 5-point spread in favor of Minnesota as they host the Mavs. Of course, it was Dallas winning the Western Conference in a trip to the NBA Finals against the Boston Celtics a year ago. Total, Joe, 221 and a hook. The Mavericks did play last night at home against the Utah Jazz, winning by 8, 110-102. So, second leg of a back-to-back for Dallas, a change of venue, even with the anticipation of this WCF rematch. How do you break it down tonight in Minneapolis?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a different looking Dallas team this year, is it not? But again, having to come off of a tough game last night, there's always that revenge factor sitting around with Minnesota in this one. But you gotta love what Klay Thompson has brought to this team here and what they're doing. This new look of Klay and Luka and Irving, and boy, oh boy, this is a team that can absolutely drop 130 on any team at any given night. I think Minnesota has some pieces they're still trying to get used to.
Yeah.
The place is going to be rocking. It's advantage Minnesota, but with that much firepower, Ben, am I laying five? I don't think so.
And right now, the projected lineups for the Mavericks, as you would hope this early in a season, despite a change of venue back-to-back, does include Luka Doncic and a lot of those stars for Dallas. On the other side, it's now Anthony Edwards' show in Minneapolis. Not that it wasn't beforehand, but of course, no Karl Anthony Towns. Julius Randle has been good in spurts in his time so far in the Twin Cities. Both of these teams, 2-1. Dallas under in two straight. Minnesota under in two of three. The only over for the NBA's most efficient defensive team a season ago, that being the Timberwolves, came in their only cover of the season in their second game of the year. Again, 26.5 is that points prop for Anthony Edwards. We do have the number out for Luka Doncic as well, 29.5. Klay Thompson has been good so far during his time in Dallas. 15.5 his points prop tonight.
Yeah, well, again, he went 5 of 22 and 1 of 9 from behind the arc last night. And the idea that you're going to get that back-to-back from Luka's...
Bounce back.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it feels like it's a bounce-back spot. Plus, Luka's not going to want to be... Luka's not going to be interested in hearing about how the Timberwolves want to grab their revenge. Like, grab this. He's not going to be interested in that at all. Wouldn't shock me at all if he, in fact, maybe a little peek ahead here, looking to in a spotlight game at 7:30 tonight. Maybe looks to kind of bounce back in a big way. I'd only look at the over props for him here.
Again, when you have seen Klay Thompson so far in Dallas, 18 points in all three games at bare minimum, he has buried at least four threes. For Klay to hit four threes tonight, even money plus 100. Now let's go up to Golden State, our fourth and final game on this Tuesday night quadruple header in the NBA. The Dubs, home underdog ever so slightly against New Orleans. The Pels, a road favorite because no Stephen Curry on the other side for Golden State. Suffered an ankle injury, which has been an issue throughout his NBA career over the weekend. Not expected to be super serious or miss a significant amount of time, but no Steph tonight for Golden State.
Yeah, which, you know, and it's unfortunate, too, when you think about it, too, because DeJounte Murray for the Pelicans breaks his hand in the first game here. Then, you of course, but you still got, you know, you got Zion, you got CJ McCollum, you know, you've got Brandon Ingram. They still have enough firepower on this team. I don't trust the Warriors without Steph Curry in any way, shape, or form. I do think New Orleans, this is a game they can and should win probably rather easily.
When you look at Golden State last year, they were awful at home in San Francisco, better on the road. The year prior to that, awful away from San Fran and lights out in Golden State. The Pels have already played a back-to-back, well, not quite a back-to-back, but in the same venue, two games in three nights against the Trailblazers. One at the buzzer against Portland, lost by 22 against the Blazers over the weekend. This is their first time against they played Chicago and twice against Portland. Interesting kind of elevation in terms of what they'll do. And they play Golden State on back-to-back nights again? What a weird schedule for New Orleans to start off this year.
Very weird.
Very strange. Yep. We'll talk World Series baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number 4 of the World Series tonight in the Bronx. Can the Yankees stave off elimination, avoiding a sweep, and force at least a Game 5? Or will the Dodgers win championship number 8 in its franchise history with a clean sweep of the Yankees in only four games in the 2024 World Series. Here are where the odds stand at this moment. The Yankees, a home favorite tonight inside Yankee Stadium. Luis Gil gets the start for New York. Still TBD for the Dodgers. We expect an opener. We'll dive into the potential names in just a second. 8.5 is the total. Based on regulation, Joe, all three of our games have stayed under this number. It was Freddie Freeman's walk-off grand slam in the home half of the 10th on Friday night in game number one that pushed us to the over of 8.5. But, Joe, it's a very simple question, really. Will the Yankees get swept or avoid the sweep tonight in game number four?
I don't know, but it feels to me like forget the side. It feels like the total is the way to go in this game here. But they've scored 7 runs, the Yankees, in these three games, right? The Dodgers have only scored 14, and 4 of those came on, you mentioned it, the Freeman grand slam there in the extra inning. So it's not like with all the studs and firepower we got in these lineups, that's not a whole lot of runs here, Ben, at all. And we're still hovering around, 8.5? And if you're figuring the Yankees are not going to figure it out tonight against the bullpen because they haven't figured it out in the first three games, then how in the world are we getting 9 runs in this game? The Yankees, it's going to be all hands on deck regardless because this is the series. So they're in must win. It just feels like the under, no matter what, is going to be the way to go. Because even if the Yankees are to win, they're going to have to hold the Dodgers lineup and keep these guys off the base pass. And they're going to have to limit the runs here regardless. So I think the under is the way to look in this one.
Yeah, and listen, it will be a bullpen game for the Dodgers. We have seen them do that various times in this postseason in pretty critical moments. Of course, you first look at what they did in game number 4 in San Diego against the Padres when everybody thought, this Dodgers team is in danger of getting bounced in the DS once again for the third time in the last 6 years by San Diego. Dave Roberts turns to Ryan Brazier to open things up. He uses 8 arms, and the Dodgers, of course, blank the Padres, win game 4, win game 5, and now here we are into the World Series with LA just 1 win away from its 8th ever World Series championship. Of course, there is the sweeping precedent here in the World Series. This will be the 23rd time in a best-of-7 World Series a team has taken a 3-0 series advantage. In the prior 22 3-0 series leads in the Fall Classic, 19 have ended in a sweep. Only 3 have even reached a 5th game. Never have we gone past game number 5. In fact, the last time even a 3-0 series lead happened that extended to a 5th game, the 1970 World Series. 9 times since, it's been a clean sweep. Have the Yankees ever been swept in the World Series? Yes, 3 times, way back in 1922, 1963 against these Dodgers, and 76 against the Cincinnati Reds. So we're not entirely sure yet, Joe, who is going to open the game for the Dodgers. Michael Kopech was in there at the end of game number 3, gave up the 2-run shot to Alex Verdugo in the home half of the 9th. Ryan Brazier threw a full inning. He has often been the guy to open for LA. We do know who is starting for New York. It's the rookie in a very significant spot trying to keep his club's season alive. That is Luis, our guy, don't call him you-know-what, Heel on the hill tonight inside Yankee Stadium. Joe, he did start game number 4 of the ALCS against the Guardians. Was fine. 4 innings of work, only 3 base knocks, 2 earned runs. What can we expect out of Heel in the biggest spot of his young career tonight against Los Angeles?
But, you know, you mentioned that start against the Guardians, Ben. That's his only start since September 28th. So he's pitched once in a month. And that is not great. He's only got really 3 pitches here. And we have a Dodgers team that is not chasing anything. They're walking a ton in this series. They're not striking out, unlike the Yankees, who have struck out 31 times in this 3-game series here. The Dodgers, not so much. They're going to take a ton of pitches here. They're going to make this kid work. And that would be what scares me the most So I don't know what his walks prop is, but I guarantee you, Louis Hill probably going over his walk prop here tonight, given the fact that the Dodgers are not going to chase bad pitches and make his life easy. So I would expect maybe a few more walks than usual here for the rookie.
Yeah, so I don't see a walk prop out on FanDuel, just the strikeout prop, of course, for Luis Gil. Part of that could be because the Dodgers have not named their starter, their opener tonight, so FanDuel hasn't released all of that. Not even an outs prop yet for Luis Gil in this game. He is walk prone. You saw some of the numbers that he had made throughout his rookie season. In the opening game of his playoff career against the Guardians in Game 4, he did register 3 walks. That was really the issue, Joe, last night for Clark Schmidt. He walked 4. Yep. He only gave up 2 base knocks, but he allowed 3 earned runs. Part of that was the 2-run shot to the third batter of the game, Freddie Freeman, who has now hit a home run in 5 consecutive World Series games, all 3 here in the 2024 Fall Classic, the final 2 of the 2021 World Series as an Atlanta Brave against the Houston Astro. So, Joe, let's look at the offensive side of the scope for this game. The Dodgers have really been pretty solid throughout the entirety of this postseason, 1 through 9. And one's a little bit banged up. That's Shohei Ohtani. Mookie Betts has been consistent. Freddie Freeman has been the main spark plug. Tommy Edman has been good. Mookie Betts and Kike Hernandez both in RBI last night. In regulation, if you were to tell most Yankees fans that in the opening 3 games of this World Series, the Yanks have only allowed 10 runs, you'd be like, all right, pretty cool. It's just the Yankees haven't done much offensively on the other side. Let's start with the Dodgers, Joe. Who is the biggest key offensively once again if LA is going to win a World Series and a clean sweep in game number 4 tonight?
Well, you're going to have to figure out ways to keep the top half of that order off the base, because the bottom half of that order for the Dodgers, Ben, has come through with some big hits at big moments in this series so far. So they can't make a difference if they don't get on base. So I do think you got to stop letting Freeman beat you at some point in this series. You got to stop that. I don't think Ohtani, well, we know he's not 100%, and those swings he took last night were not great at all. So I don't think he's going to be as big a factor. I do think it's going to be the guys in the bottom half of this order. Don't put them in a spot to get singles and drive in runs. Make sure that the top half of the order sits down here tonight and is not running on the bases, which means you better not be giving them free passes, which I think maybe would be a huge ask out of this staff for the Yankees.
Shohei Ohtani is just 1 for 11 in this World Series with 2 runs scored and 1 extra base hit. He has drawn 2 walks. He's been pretty disciplined, only 3 strikeouts. But again, it's not like this is the otherworldly NL MVP winning Shohei Ohtani that is now banged up. It's really been everybody else. It's been Freddie Freeman. It's been Mookie Betts. Kike Hernandez has continued to put up prolific production in the postseason. Tommy Edman had a home run in game number 2. He was the NLCS MVP. And there is no doubt, Joe, one of the best advantages for the Dodgers throughout this postseason, certainly here in the World Series against New York, has been that depth. Because the Yankees ain't got it. Not even close. So outside of Soto and Stanton, will somebody step up? Will a judge rise tonight with the Yankees season on the line? We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number 4. Will the World Series end in a sweep, or might we even see a 5th game in the Bronx tomorrow? Joe, tonight in game number 4, we talked about it. Luis Gil gets the start for the Yankees. We expect an opener and a bullpen game for the Dodgers. Who exactly that first pitcher on the mound tonight in the Bronx is going to be has not been listed by Dave Roberts as of yet. Again, we'll remind you of the history of a team holding a 3-0 series lead in the World Series in the very, 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 very uphill battle the Yankees have to climb to even see a fifth game, Joe. Let alone a sixth game, which has never happened in the history of the World Series when a team has been down 0-3. But if they're going to start to climb up the hill, they need their best players to perform in a big way. Giancarlo Stanton has done that. Juan Soto, pretty darn good as well. Aaron Judge has been absolutely awful. He is 1 of 12 here in this World Series. He has 7 strikeouts. Aaron Judge in this postseason is 6 of 43. That's a 140 batting average. He has 2 home runs and 6 RBIs. All of that offensive production coming in the first 3 games, that's it, of the ALCS against the Guardians. And yet, Joe, the odds makers give Aaron Judge the most likely chance to hit one over the wall tonight. It's plus 250. I'm not going to ask you if it's worth cashing that ticket. What I will ask you is this. What do the Yankees finally need out of Aaron Judge if they're going to stave off elimination and avoid the sweep tonight in game 4?
It was funny. We were just talking. I said the best thing to happen tonight for the Yankees is Aaron Judge gets up there in the first inning and breaks a bat and bloops a single over the first baseman's head. He's got to get some confidence. He's got to be able to breathe here. And the only way he's going to be able to breathe and at home is Ben is getting a hit. It doesn't need to be a home run. It doesn't need to be a mammoth show. He just needs a hit. And the longer it takes for him to get that, the worse it's going to get for him, because mentally, I think it's starting to wear on him. We're talking about a dude with over 250 postseason at bats. He's barely hitting a .150. I mean, it's embarrassing on so many levels for him, and they're on the verge of being swept. So any sort of hit, I think, in the first inning will give Judge credit. Don't expect a home run. Do not expect a home run.
He looks lost, man. Flaherty had his number big time in game 1. I'm like, oh, boy, this could be tough. Woo. And he has not shown any sort of resilience here in either game 2 or 3. Stanton has been that guy for New York. 6 playoff home runs, all 6 coming in clutch moments in the 6th inning or later. Last night it was Alex Verdugo delivering a 2-run shot to bring even a sliver of life and optimism to Yankee Stadium. Of course, we know Freddie Freeman's price to hit a home run tonight, something he has done in 5 consecutive World Series games, including all 3. And somehow, Joe, it's 6-1. I would think it would be a little bit shorter on Freddie Freeman. Not saying he's going to make it 4 in a row here in the World Series with a long ball, but I thought the odds makers would have adjusted ever so slightly.
The only two guys, you would think, but the only two guys I would even look at from a Yankee perspective would be Soto and Stanton, with both those guys having the short porches and an opportunity. It's the only guys we can trust to put the bat on the ball here in any way, shape, or form. I don't think Ohtani's shoulder is good enough one way or the other, but, you know, the one guy that maybe we have not heard from here is maybe Mookie Betts. We're not giving him enough credit here to be able to park one at a pretty good price.
An RBI last night for the Dodgers that extended the lead early. Kike Hernandez, the only guy for LA that had multiple base knocks last night. The Dodgers had just 5 hits. The Yankees had the same amount of base hits. The Dodgers actually stranded a ton more offense in the 3rd and 4th innings. Yeah, we'll remember Giancarlo Stanton barely rounding 3rd and getting housed at home. But still, the Dodgers had Gavin Lux do the same on a bunt from Tommy Edman that quickly went home, and he was ruled out on a play at the plate. Nestor Cortez came in the inning later, got out of a jam. The Dodgers actually left a ton more offense out there in game number 3, but they will not be complaining as LA holds a 3-0 series advantage. Here is where the odds makers have adjusted the price on Freddie Freeman. Joe, he's going to win World Series MVP, and absolutely deservingly so, because he's minus 1,900 right now. You can take a flyer on Stanton or Soto if you think the Yankees pull off the improbable, something we have only seen once ever in the history of MLB, best of seven series, and the Yankees know that all too well, I guess. Maybe you could take a flyer on another Dodger, perhaps, if this gets extended to six or seven and the Dodgers still end up on the winning end. Don't see that happening. And here is why I do not see that happening, Joe. Again, this is the 23rd time in a best of seven World Series one team has held a 3-0 series advantage. In the previous 22, 19 have ended in a sweep. Only three have even ever made it to a fifth game. Never have we seen a team hold a 3-0 series advantage and even have to play a sixth, let alone seventh game. So, Joe, it's a question of not if, but when. And I'm really starting to feel like it's tonight. I know the Yankees have the hope. I know the Yankees are the favorites. I don't think there's really anything they do better than LA at this moment. So I'll give the edge to the Dodgers, even in a bullpen game.
It's, I mean, listen, the options even for the bullpen are not great for the Dodgers here tonight in a closeout game. But when you're up 3-0, Ben, you give yourself a whole lot of room for error, don't you? And given the fact that we've just not seen any signs of life from anybody not named Soto or Stanton in this lineup, it's very hard to look towards the Yankees. But, you know, it is Yankee Stadium. It is October. This is where legends are made. I can tell you this, if Judge does finally break out tonight, that nobody in New York will remember that he was batting 120 heading into this game, Ben.
Until the end of the World Series, if they do fall in five. But to Joe's point, we're going to have plenty of time throughout the rest of the week to talk about the overall season outlook in review. The Dodgers expected to win a World Series with everybody they invested in this offseason. They're one win away from doing just that. The Yankees fall short, but at least they have won the pennant for the first time in 15 years. We'll talk about the season overall at a later date. College football tonight, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is week number 10 of this 2024 college football season. Again, we have pointed this out many times. 55 consecutive days of an NFL or college football game means Tuesday football. Midweek action returns exactly 1 week from tonight, but it's been CUSA Tuesdays. Now we welcome in the Fun Belt, though. Texas State and Louisiana. Tonight, the Bobcats and G.J. Kinney, 3.5-point home favorite. 58.5 is the total. Joe, probably the best of our three games tonight. Sam Houston State, though, the Bearcats have been really good this year. They're second in FBS. FIU and New Mexico State, FIU, 9.5-point favorite. I think that says a lot more about NMSU at this moment than it does about the Panthers. Of course, they play at Pitbull Stadium. 43.5 is that total of our triple header on this Tuesday with the Sun Belt getting in the mix. What do you like?
I like Louisiana Raging Cajuns here at Texas State. I mean, their only loss of the season, Ben, came against Tulane. I believe that was 41-33. They even outgained a pretty darn good offensive Tulane team by nearly 60 yards here. I think they have a win over Wake Forest. They're 3-0 already in league play. And call me crazy, I see them being a pretty tough matchup here for a underperforming Texas State team, who everyone thought was going to be one of the best in this division. I don't know. They gave one away against Sam Houston State. They lost at home to Arizona State. They let another one get by against Old Dominion. They kind of got boat raced last week. I think Louisiana is a top 20 offense in this country. I think they're going to be able to put up a ton of points. I like them getting points, and I also like the over, Ben. I can see this one being a fun one tonight.
Over in the first four games this year for the Bobcats, that is Texas State, a push in game five and under in two straight. Texas State as a favorite this year, every single game. And against FBS foes, Joe, that's now six times. They are 3-3 against the number, but also 3-3 straight up. So if they win, they're probably going to cover, but they might not win this football game. And Louisiana, Joe, has quite some pedigree. They're perfect in the Sun Belt after the loss to ODU, Texas State, 2-1 in conference play. The Sun Belt is the only of our nine FBS conferences that still uses divisions, something to note. And when you look at the Ragin' Cajuns, Ranieri, it's a team that has an underdog just twice this season against Tulane. Did not cover, only getting a point and a half. Perhaps that wasn't the correct spread and would look a little bit different because the Green Wave have been really solid this year. Still lost that game by a single score, just 8 points. They beat Wake Forest. They beat Wake Forest in Winston-Salem as a three-point underdog, 41-48. And to your point, Joe, about that total, just two games, right? Small sample size for Louisiana as an underdog this year, but both of those games have gone over.
Yeah, and Texas State has actually been pretty decent defensively. They've kind of shown up here this year. I've been impressed with what I've seen for them, but I just think this offense of Louisiana coming into this game, boy, they're going to be a tough train to stop here. They are rolling right now and getting points. If both defenses are about equal and I get a better offense on the road, catching more than a field goal, I'll take it all day long, Ben.
Right now, both of these teams play in the Sun Belt West Division. Louisiana has the best record overall in the conference at 6-1. The Ragin' Cajuns, the only team that is perfect in conference play in the Fun Belt. Huge game tonight on a Tuesday. You wonder with some of these Tuesday and Wednesday games, Joe, is this a fishy line, right? We're highlighting all that Louisiana does despite being on the road. Are they the right side? You wonder if the odds makers have the Bobcats booked as a favorite because it is fishy, or it's just the power ratings that are flawed here because it doesn't get all that attention. Now, Louisiana Tech has played some competitive games the last couple of CUSA Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Sam Houston State, really not a bad team. Should be an exciting night on this Tuesday. Triple header of action. And again, a big one in San Marcos between Texas State and Louisiana. I was going to say the same thing.
Give me the Sam Houston State, who gets their quarterback back. Hunter Watson is back. But this is not a passing team. They are a running team. And Louisiana Tech, one of the better run defenses in the country here. Under for me in that one.
Listen, we give you plays all week long. He's Germanary. I'm Ben Stevens. The Early Line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time on Sportsbook.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.